Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, and review books in this unique romance subgenre and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you writing advice from experienced Christian romance writers. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Friday book discussion. I need to apologize that during the announcements, I'm going to sound a little off. I've been dealing with a cold this week and hoping to be back at 100% next week. But here are just a few announcements coming up. Our next Coffee and Books event is actually this Saturday, October 5th, from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm hoping that you can join us tomorrow and enjoy an hour of book talk with authors Julie Lessman and Lynn Shannon. This is a free event, but you do need to register to save your spot. But you can head on over to literaryescape.com/events and register today. And we are really looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, October 5th, from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Unwavering Faith crowdfunding campaign will end on November 1st, 2024. At the time of this recording, we are just 24 books away from unlocking the first bonus item, which is a 12x18 signed poster of the cover. You now can get a copy of either a paperback or hardback or both of the limited edition cover. Just head on over to literaryescape.com/campaign to see the updates. The link will also be in the show notes, and please consider sharing this campaign with others as we work toward the goal of publishing Unwavering Faith. And a huge thank you to Colin Lisher and Sarah Mason for purchasing a limited edition copy of Unwavering Faith. That's it for announcements. Let's jump into this week's discussion. And just a reminder, we batch record these episodes, and we had a few technical difficulties when we recorded each of these discussions for the Triumph Over Adversity series. So please excuse any audio blips. They're very minor, but you know, your ear might pick up on it. So enjoy our discussion of Necessary Peril by Lynn Shannon.
Necessary Peril. His scars are hidden. Kyle Stewart always envisioned marriage and children in his future, but being deployed changed him in every way possible. All he wants now is to take care of his aging parents and live a quiet life of bachelorhood. Then a woman from Kyle's past blasts back into his life with hired hitmen on her tail. She's not who she claims to be. Sierra Lyons isn't her real name. She's not originally from Texas. Her birthday isn't in April, and her family has been on the run since she was 7. Trusting the police isn't an option, but when armed men attempt to kidnap her infant nephew, there's no denying she's been found. Some risks are worth taking. Kyle knows Sierra isn't telling the whole truth, but the threats against her are real. He'll do whatever it takes to protect her and her nephew, even if it places his own life in peril. Keeping his heart from becoming collateral damage, however, may be impossible.
All right, let's just kick it off by talking about our Kyle and Sierra's relationship, because it really started back in high school. And then she just, her family up and disappeared in the night. And now she's by herself with her nephew and has reappeared in his life so many years later. So what are your thoughts on their relationship?
Kind of, again, like that fate thing, like that old friends coming back around. They kind of had that connection that was, it was neat. I don't
know. Yeah. I thought he still remembered her, mm-hmm. and he had tried other relationships, right? But nothing really stuck. Mm-hmm. He was the one that, like, was holding out. His mom really, you know, everybody's like, you're going to get married next. And he's like, nah, not even interested, you know. And then here she came along. And then I love because he, oh, wait, no, I have the wrong guy in my head. I'm sorry. Kyle always wanted a wife and mm-hmm. kids, but just figured it wasn't going to happen. That's right. Okay. There's too many guys in this series.
I know. It's hard to keep them all straight.
I'm getting them mixed up. But the fact that she came with a baby already, I just think, like, seeing a man with a baby like he was is just so heartwarming.
Was he the one that lost someone overseas?
You're right.
Okay.
That's why, because Kyle had been engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both serving, and she died on her last mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then he felt guilty. Yes, that's right. Because then he felt guilty for moving on with... It had been 3 years, I want to say, something like that. It had been a while.
And then she just kind of shows up on the side. He helps her on the side of the road. And
mm-hmm.
Oh, that's how why she broke. She broke down
because she was running from the attack. That starts off the book.
What'd you think of that attack?
This one jumped right in, didn't it? Like, just jumped right in.
The teapot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was...
Quick the thinking. Baby. It's more intense when there's a baby.
The baby, yeah. I was super worried.
And we're all women, and three of us here are mothers, so I can imagine that you're like, I always... Well, it's her nephew, so I always picture it as one of mine. And I'm like, the baby.
Yeah.
You got to protect the baby at all costs.
Yes.
Anyway, so what did you think then about Sierra's family?
I felt awful for her mother. I mean, you're thinking about the baby. Can you imagine a mother having two small children trying to escape that situation?
Mm-hmm.
It just...
Their life was always really on the run. They always had go bags. They're always looking over their shoulder.
And you know how fearful she was because she ingrained that into Sierra. So you know that was part of her life. Like, she was a terrified woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She didn't know anything but living on the run. Mm-hmm. That's all she knew. But then her sister, what'd you think about her sister?
That was Lily, right? What was her sister?
I think so. Lucy. I can't remember her. Lucy. What'd you think about her?
I admired her. I think, because I think at one time Sierra's like, you know, she just didn't take it seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe it wasn't so much that. I think she was brave. She was the one that wanted to make it. She had a child. She wanted to change things.
Yeah. She wanted, a normal life for her child. Yeah.
Into your mic. Your mic is off to the side.
I'm not sitting over here.
I love it. You're doing great.
I'm going to try to talk this way, okay?
No, I just put it in front of you. You're good to go. And don't knock it off the chair again.
Be gentle, Jess.
All right, so our leading lady has her nephew to take care of. And, of course, Kyle and all his friends that we've grown to love over this series are helping, keeping her safe and the baby safe. And at one point, somehow the baby Daniel ends up in Tucker's hands. And Tucker is the real big guy in the group.
Yeah.
And he's like... Let me see if I can find that description real quick, because it was hilarious. I mean,
wasn't it like it's not a bomb?
Yeah.
Right. Like he was holding it so close.
Can't picture it. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Right here. This is from Kyle's perspective. He drew to an abrupt stop in the kitchen doorway and nearly burst out laughing. Sierra was busy mixing formula for Daniel. She'd obviously roped Tucker into holding the baby so she could prepare the bottle quickly. The former Army Ranger was frozen in place. Daniel nestled between his extended hands. The terrified expression etched on Tucker's face gave way to pure panic when the baby wriggled his tiny feet and gave a wail of unhappiness and hunger. Tucker, what on earth are you doing? Kyle couldn't resist teasing his friend. It's a baby, not a bomb. And Tucker shot him a scowl and muttered, a bomb would be easier. He blinked and seemed to realize how his words could be taken. He tossed a sheepish glance towards Sierra. No offense, this one seems cute as far as kids go, just not for me. And then Kyle takes the baby. But did you all enjoy that? And then we're going to get to Tucker's story, and they end up, you find later on that he does very well with babies. I think this might have been the first one he ever held, right? All right. What did you think about Iris, who was Sierra's sister's boss? So Sierra's sister worked for like a, accounting. She was an accountant. Mm-hmm. And she's like dug and found all this information about their dad and the big, I guess you could call it a mafia. That's kind of how I and then she was killed. Her and her husband were killed. So what did you think? You know, Sierra goes back and talks to her boss and is like, hey, I know she was investigating. Can you share any of, you know, all this stuff? What do you think about Iris?
I didn't like her. Mm-mm. I knew she was
tied into it.
Yeah, she was hiding something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like the hidden threats. Mm-hmm. Like she wasn't kind. Like she, you knew right away something wasn't right.
What about then Jeff, the FBI agent, comes in. What were your thoughts on him?
I was like 50-50 on that. Like, thought he was a good guy. Because the explanations and some of the things he did kind of made sense. Mm-hmm. But then I was kind of thinking, I don't know.
Too convenient.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But this plays into her whole, what she talked to us about, that Lynn never knows who the actual murderer is going to be or stalker or whoever, villain, until she gets to the end. So she writes all of these suspects as if, so that they could be that person in the end. So did you suspect Iris and Jeff at one point before you?
Iris, definitely.
Iris, for sure.
Jeff was 50-50. Jeff, that's the name of our dad. And I've got
that. Like. Well, and you know, and then like the secretary or receptionist there. I was like.
Yeah, did she seem a little sus?
Yeah.
At first.
At first.
But yeah. I kind of immediately. Like,
Jeff was suspicious to me though when the one shooting happened and he had to take a call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I'm like, where? What? Like, you just leave and then
that was the sniper. That was the sniper, right?
Yeah. I thought that was very sus.
Yeah.
good job.
Very that you said appropriately.
Yeah, but like when B's like, follow me to the cafeteria, like to go through that much trouble. Like I didn't suspect her at that. I did at first, but then once. Like, why would she go through that trouble and give him the name?
Yeah. And then they end up finding Jeff on the ranch and hauling him in. Mm-hmm. And he's all ticked about it.
That explanation didn't even make sense that Jeff tried to explain why he was out there for and everything. Yeah. He's
definitely sus. She's doing better.
Stay out, Melissa.
Okay, you were just talking over. I gotta cut a lot out. I'm so sorry, Jamie. We are gonna make you late. I apologize.
Jamie is gonna be telling Tabitha about this at work on Tuesday, and they're all gonna be.
I'm gonna tell her when I get there. I'll see her in a little bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's
right. All right. We kind of already talked about Kyle's struggle with his fiance's death, so let's skip to the many attacks and issues Kyle and Sierra faced. What did you think about those? Okay, the one that stands out to me is when baby Daniel's taken.
Me too. That hit, duh.
I was in pure panic mode. I couldn't put the book down until I found out.
And yeah. That was hard for me because he's like very colicky.
And he was sick. And
he was sick. And I was like, oh no, he's not going to get.
Was that part you couldn't put it down? But what really hit me is I could not have been as composed as Sierra was. Like for her to, and that was another thing. Like God's always with you. For her to just be looking out the window, like I know God's with him and it's in God's hands. I would be a hot mess. I would be freaking out. I would be like, God, why did you do this? Like I don't know if I could have been that composed. Mm-hmm. Just.
Yep. Wow. I agree. I would be the same way. That one was the worst. Mm-hmm. I thought. Mm-hmm. Of all their attacks. So, and then of course Kyle's beating himself up because he goes, how did I not see that coming? And, yeah. All right. So let's just talk about the nuggets of truth and wisdom she wove in here. The first one, it can be found on page 47. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is Joshua 1:9, and it's on Kyle's keychain, which she, you know, stole his truck at one point, and she read that off the keychain. So Any thoughts on the nugget of truth there? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Do you feel like she played, like she was able to live that out? I feel like when you're just talking about when Daniel was taken, like she was able to be strong and courageous and not frightened.
I think she was and she wasn't. I think when it was personal, I don't think she wasn't strong and courageous. She's always on the run. She didn't trust that God had her back. But when Daniel was at risk, then she could see it less removed, maybe like it's in God's hands. So I feel like she did, but didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Any other thoughts on that? I love it. That's a great verse. Mm-hmm. On page 118, she is bound and determined. This is when she's like, I'm not going to run anymore. Mm-hmm. And she would become who God created her to be. What are your thoughts on that?
It's part of breaking the mold. Like I was, it's not just that God was who he created her. She was going to be who God created her to be. But the reminder that just because her dad was not a good person mm-hmm. does not mean that she's not going to be a good person. I think a lot of people look at their history and it's like, well, my parents were that way. So how can I break? I'm not going to break that mold.
Yeah. Breaking the cycle mm-hmm. is hard to do. It does take, you have to be strong and courageous, but you also have to lean on God because there's no mm-hmm. way you can do it on your own. I love it because our pastor always talks about living to your full redemptive potential. And so it just made me really happy for her that she got to a point where she's like, I can do this. And then page 180, where it says, God encourages us to love. It's our greatest gift to others. What do you think about that? And it's true because when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest command? He said, love one another. Mm-hmm. That was the greatest command.
There's a lot of mm-hmm. truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes said, yeah. even just a simple smile or a hug. Or
mm-hmm. Little card that says, thinking of you. Yeah.
Just something. Mm-hmm.
It's those moments of love that change.
Well, change your day for the better.
Mm-hmm. And for some people, trajectory, right? Like they... No one remembers what you said, what your hair looked like, what mm-hmm. you wore, but they will always remember how you made them feel.
Absolutely.
And so I always pray every morning to I'm like, okay, Lord, let your love overflow from me and touch those around me because I don't want anyone to ever feel like mistreated or mm-hmm. feeling down after they've been around me, yeah. right? Like I want to lift each other up, so... But trust me, I've gone through my valleys where I've been like, nobody wants to be around me.
I think that's just part of being human.
Yes.
Wait. All right. Anybody else have anything else to say on that? Just everybody love everybody, okay? Then we won't have we won't have hate anymore, and we won't have anybody being cruel, right? All right. How would you rate the following elements on Necessary Peril by Lynn Shannon? So we'll start with mystery.
Latte.
I put mocha latte. Oh.
What'd you put?
I don't know. Because I kind of get, you kind of guessed some of it.
I'd say latte.
Latte. Okay. I'm going to put mocha / latte on there. Okay. How about the drama?
Latte.
Latte. Yeah, a lot of family drama in this one. When her dad shows up at the gate of the ranch, I was
and
like,
she just walks right up to him.
Well, I mean, Kyle's like right there. You know, the guys
know,
are kind
of
forming
paper.
A circle.
Reading this series makes me realize I think I might be kind of a hothead. I think that Irish in me it comes out a little bit because I'm immediately like, oh no, you didn't.
You
like,
did not.
You were not trying to do this. Experience. Like I can't even believe you would file for.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I know. How about the suspense?
Latte.
Yep, I would agree. Romance?
Espresso.
I would agree.
Yeah.
There is, but it's not like intense romance. How about inspiration?
Latte.
Latte.
Mocha. I would go mocha, so mocha / latte. And then what is your overall lasso rating of Necessary Peril by Lynn Shannon?
Three lassos.
Three lassos.
Three. Two. But it's okay. It's an honest two because you're not a suspense person. So that is fine.
It's very good.
It was. All right. Next week, we will tackle strategic plan. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would like to invite you to connect with us further and get a free read. Right now, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will get the first 9 chapters of my book, Unwavering Faith. Plus, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.